What are you going to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Welcome into another bonus episode of Meet Me at Mutual. I'm Daniel Chaptaw, C70 at the bat. Getting a chance again to talk to Mr. Kyle Reese. Talking the minors. We'll talk about what these minor league teams are going to be doing over the next 2 or 3 weeks as their seasons wind down or they get running ready for their playoffs. And talk about some other players that might be of interest both to the Cardinals and to general fans as they want to keep an eye on things for this coming week. So stick with us.
0-1 to Pujols. In the air, left field, and Pujols has given St. Louis the lead. A dramatic, towering three-run home run. Stunned in disbelief here in Houston.
And it's time to talk about the minors with Kyle Reese from the Redbird Daily. You'll find him on Twitter at KyleR416. As you all know Kyle by now. And if you don't, you should be. You should be listening to Prospect to be Named Later, his show with Colin Gardner from the Redbird Daily as well, or reading his stuff at the Redbird Daily. So, Kyle, I want to talk to you a little bit about some general things. I mean, we're getting here. What, two, three weeks left in the minor league season. Cardinals are having some good teams. I mean, Memphis is just outstanding. What are these teams doing right now? Like Memphis, for instance, they've clinched the division. They're well up. What are they going to do over the next 2 to 3 weeks that may or may not be different than they've done the rest of the year?
Oh, you know, that's a really interesting question. So I guess the first thing that you'll see now is there won't be very many merit-based promotions. Mm-hmm. That's like the first thing that always comes to my mind when I think about this time of year. So about a month ago, 4 starts ago for Ryan Helsley, 6 starts ago for Mike O'Reilly, and I want to say 7 starts ago for Dakota Hudson. Those guys were about due for a merit-based promotion. Sometimes there's some roster waste, which is a terrible thing to say, but so there's some roster waste at the minor league level, and some of those guys get cut, or there might be an injury at the major league level, which allowed upward mobility. And generally, the merit-based promotions will just kind of happen. They'll find a way to get a guy up to another level if he's succeeding at the level he's at. But at this time of year, there's 4 weeks left in the minor league season before they get to playoffs, and they want these guys to kind of stick together and push for the playoffs as a team. So, like, for instance, I guess the best way of putting it is when the September call-ups happen for the St. Louis Cardinals on September 1st, when they go to their well of prospects at the minor leagues, there's a really good chance that they're not going to take a lot of players, at least initially in September 1st. You know, Colin and I talked about it on the podcast, but John Gant's really interesting because he's the kind of guy that if they need a long reliever, I could see them calling him up. But for the most part, you'll see Flaherty, you'll see Hudson, you'll see all of those guys stay at Memphis for their playoff push because they really want these guys to win championships in the minor league level, as ridiculous as that sounds, especially with guys who aren't on the 40-man. Those guys probably won't be added for that reason, and things might change once the playoff race is over, but that's the first thing. The second thing that you see is you'll see prospects be on pitch counts. So really interesting, tonight, we're recording this on Thursday night, Sandy Alcantara pitched for Springfield tonight. And to me, and it might not be to everyone else, and I only watch parts of it because I'm trying to type up my weekly prospect roundup for the Redbird Daily, but to me, what I saw, it was his best start I've seen in a long time, and he's pitched better of lately. He pitched 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 7 Ks, and he let up 1 home run. But I bring that up because he only threw 72 pitches. And what you see now is you'll see pitchers on a little bit more strict, a pitch count. Jordan Hicks for Palm Beach has pitched out of the bullpen a little bit. When he started, he's been on a strict, I believe it's a 60-pitch count, but he's pitching out of the bullpen a little bit. About a couple weeks ago, before Ryan Helsley got the promotion to Springfield, he was on, they kind of gave him a 2-week break, but pitched him out of the bullpen in long relief. Those are the big things that you'll see. You'll also see at the levels like Springfield, where there's a lot of outfield depth. Springfield right now, because of Stephen Piscotty at Memphis, has Jose Adolis Garcia, Oscar Mercado, Magnuris Sierra, and Randy Arozarena, all as outfielders. And you'll see that those guys get a little bit more rest. They'll start resting those guys. It isn't much different than a major league pennant push, or if a team like the Dodgers, who has the postseason locked up, Memphis will kind of apply that approach. Harrison Bader's been playing DH the last couple nights and hitting at the back of the lineup for Memphis because he's struggled. So this is a time for guys to get rest and work through their struggles, much like with the major league club. And those are the major differences. The one area where it's a little different is at the lower levels, the lowest levels, the short season squads. State College, Johnson City, the Gulf Coast League, those guys, nothing changes for this time of year. They have such a small window from the middle part of June until the playoff race ends at the middle part of September to really fine-tune and get everything going and find out the finer points of their prospects, that nothing really ever changes. So those are the things that really stick out to me. And I'm sure there's some other things I'm passing over, but those are definitely the things.
Well, and that is interesting to know that they kind of rest their players as well. Now, obviously, Memphis has locked it up. Now, if I'm right, Springfield is still in a pretty decent race, though, right? I mean, about 3-game lead?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So the other thing that's really interesting is I mentioned the outfield depth at Springfield is earlier in the week, Oscar Mercado took a ball to the hand and he was hitting and he got plunked with a ball to the hand and they had to remove him, which helped clear up the outfield situation there a little bit. But still, you'll see that even though like a team like Springfield is, and Mercado's back in the lineup as I jump from topic to topic, you'll see like with Springfield, what's best for the organization still does come first. I mentioned Alcantara tonight only throwing 72 pitches. I'm sure with as well as he was pitching that they wanted him to go a little bit longer, but that was never going to happen. So as much as they want these kids to stay together and they're not going to compromise what might otherwise be the well-being of the team. It's also really interesting in the upper levels of the minor leagues, aside from Memphis. So your Double-A level, your Advanced A, and your full season A squad, they play the first half and they play the second half. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that I always glaze over because I'm so accustomed to it from following it, but like Springfield, for instance, Springfield didn't. I think they had a 500 record in the first half, but they've been really good in the second half, and they're playing for a chance to play in the postseason. And I believe at the Texas League in the Double A level, what ends up happening is the first half team, the team that wins the first half, automatically gets a berth in the playoffs.
Right.
And then the second half gets a little bit dicier, but it's the same thing. Team in the second half makes it to the playoffs, and then there's three conferences in Double A that kind of changes things up, and then there's like one wild card team that plays the top seeded team, and it's a little bit more dicey there. But so what ends up happening is at the midway part of their season they get to reset, and it allows like all the promotion the guys who have been promoted to get a chance to play for a playoff, down a playoff race, if you will. With Springfield, Peoria is also doing really well in the second half. Palm Beach is a total disaster in the second half. They don't really have a lot of prospects, hitting prospects, that is. None of those guys down there are really getting traction. Casey Grayson's been good since being demoted from Springfield down there. But other than that, Andy Young's been okay. Anyways, there are a lot of really interesting races going on. Memphis has it locked up. Springfield is fighting. I'm actually headed down to Springfield this weekend. I'm really excited about that. It's the first trip I've been able to make this year. And so is Peoria. So there's some stuff to get excited about. There's some stuff to keep an eye on. Speaking of Peoria, I say that, but they lost 7 of their last 10, which has been perfect because the team that they've been neck and neck with lost 8 of their last 10. So it goes to show you what kind of a carousel, you know, S show the minor leagues can be sometimes.
Well, and you mentioned Palm Beach not doing well, but they won their first half, so
yeah,
they'll be in the playoffs no matter. And again, it's got to be a little bit weird. I know, you know, being a Texas League person with Arkansas being down here, we're kind of used to that split thing. But it's got to be kind of weird for that second half team. You know, you win the first half, but most of those guys aren't around by the time you go around to play the playoffs, and you could have some shell of a team going in and getting their, you know, backsides kicked. In September.
Yeah, that benefited Springfield last year. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe I'm getting it mixed up. I don't remember. I'm gonna hold off on saying that. I want to say it benefited Springfield last year. They had a really good second half and a bad first half, or vice versa. Anyways, sometimes that's exactly what happens, and you know, that's ideal for Springfield right now too, because they have a really, really strong contingent of prospects down there. Winning the second half is really, really important for that team in particular, because Andrew Kisner, who's a catcher, has played amazing for Springfield. Tommy Edmonds there, the outfielders we mentioned. Eli Alvarez is healthy now, and he's been really interesting to watch. Darren Seferina's there. Like, they have a really unusual and interesting group of prospects, along with starting pitchers who are still there, that it would benefit the major league club in the long run, and it would benefit all of those prospects a great deal to push to a playoff spot in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, I remember back a few years ago when they talked about that group with Oscar Tavares that had basically won a championship at, what, their first 3 levels?
Yeah.
That's that idea that they know how to win, they know what a playoff race is like, at least to some degree, and they know what it takes to win in the postseason. So it's not the same thing, obviously, but it's definitely as good as it gets without that happening.
Yeah, interesting there, too. I was listening. There's a morning program here in St. Louis. It's called The Morning After. It's hosted by Tim McKernan and Doug Vaughn and Jimmy the Cat Hayes, who you know from Fox Sports Midwest. A gentleman named Jay Randolph Jr., and most Cardinal fans know Jay Randolph Sr., but Jay Randolph Jr. was talking about how kids nowadays playing golf, which is a mentally taxing game, they come in and they're no longer mentally taxed. And he was going over some of the reasons why, and a lot of it has to do with kids nowadays are given challenges that maybe, you know, I'm 31 years old, that when I was 15, 16, 14, 13, 12, were not put in front of us. Parents know nowadays what it takes to get their kids to the next level. And when you apply that to baseball, what you want is you want these kids to go through the playoffs. You want them to go through the championship run so that when they're in front of 45, 50,000 people, it isn't like the change isn't so much that they can't handle it. And that's why this is important. This is the equivalent of that. This is the equivalent of being in front of an amateur major, if there was such a thing in golf. And it just goes to show you how well that plays off when you get to the major league level.
As you said, the big club gets precedence on a lot of things. And while they may want to keep people together, as we've seen over the last few days, injuries can play a part. If Adam Wainwright, who did not look like Adam Wainwright tonight, has to go on the disabled list, you would assume that Luke Weaver, who they called up today, would move into the rotation. That frees up a bullpen spot. Do they pull somebody from Memphis for that spot? And if so, who do you think it is?
You know, my thought, honestly, would be John Gant. He's pitched really well for Memphis lately, and I think that would be the path of least resistance. At this point, I mean, Mike Mayers has been pitching okay, and he's already on the 40-man. But I think it would definitely it would definitely be John Gant. I would hate to see Mike Mayers come back up. You and I talked earlier in the year, and I had watched him pitch at Memphis, and I was impressed, and I thought, you know, maybe this guy is slotted for a bullpen role, but he just doesn't have the tools that he needs to have. You know, like I said, he's been really good over his last 10 appearances. He's only let up like 4 runs over his last 10 appearances, but my assumption would be it would be John Gant.
And that would seem to make sense. You know, I guess the idea that the people, the followers of the minors would like to see Dakota Hudson come up, and it would feel like that's a kick in the pants, we're going to go all in for trying to win type of thing. But you're right, he's not on the 40-man, so that's not really likely to happen, is it?
No, I don't think so, especially for the reasons that we just talked about. Like, you know, Dakota Hudson hasn't exactly been lights out at Memphis. He struggled quite a bit. Flaherty has been lights out. Flaherty had another great week. He had 2 amazing starts. He pitched into the 7th inning last night, in the last couple nights. The nights jumble for me because I'm a mess of a human being. But he pitched into the 7th inning in his last start, and had they cut him off at the 7th inning, he wouldn't have let up an earned run. But he let up an earned run in the 8th inning. It's a little different, too, when it comes to prospects who are still developing. It's not like you have Luke Weaver or Alex Reyes at AAA right now that you could call upon. Flaherty and Hudson are still developing prospects. As great as Flaherty has looked, you only call him up if you're 100% sure that he's going to be a part of the Major League team next year and at the onset of the year. Like, that's just how I look at it. And Hudson hasn't pitched well enough yet so far to warrant that promotion. So, you know, John Gant's pitched well, and he is easily the path of least resistance, and sometimes it's just that simple.
Yeah, it really is. No matter what the team feels like it needs, there are other considerations to play into that. Well, you've talked about Flaherty and how well he did this week. Who else has caught your eye over the last few days?
Now, do you mean, like, who might be able to make an impact in the majors, or do you just mean, like, minor league-wide?
Just minor league-wide, yeah. I mean, just whoever's had a pretty good week.
Sorry, I've been so focused on trying to think of how, when September 1st comes, you know, what the Cardinals roster is going to look like. And then, as Springfield and Memphis either win or are eliminated from the playoffs, you know, how the funnel of talent's going to go that I wasn't even thinking in that direction. But in the minors this week, it's been a great week. As I write my weekly roundup, it's cool to me to see that the guys who were lighting up the minor leagues at the beginning of the year are doing it now, because that's not always the situation. A total, like, giveaway, spoiler, tomorrow when I post my awards, you're going to have Jack Flaherty on the list. Ryan Helsley is going to be on the list. Mike O'Reilly for Palm Beach, the second time he's been on the list for Palm Beach in 37 innings at Palm Beach and is being promoted from Peoria. It's really cool to see those guys, especially the pitchers, because these are the pitchers that we were really excited about at the beginning of the year, minus Mike O'Reilly. No one even knew he existed. He would be one of the guys that if you were going to try to stump me on the Prospect to Be Named Later podcast at this time last year, I would have been like, sorry, I drank too much bourbon. I can't have that right now. It's cool to see those guys doing really well. And then on the flip of that, it's really awesome to see at Springfield. I did something this prospect award period that I haven't done yet, and I have co-players of the week at Springfield. I'm not going to tell you who they are. What I will tell you is that they're both 2016 draft picks, and they're both two of my favorite prospects in the system. One I'm a huge fan of, and one my co-host of the Prospects to Be Named Later podcast, Colin Garner, is a big fan of. And I almost didn't include that person because I wanted to send a message to Colin, but had I known what the message was, I probably would have sent it. But just sending a message that I don't even know what it is didn't make any sense. So I added him, and you're welcome, Colin. I don't know what else to say.
Oh golly! I was just double checking because I didn't think he was. You know, when you start talking like that, I always immediately think of Randy Arozarena, but yes. I don't think he quite fits the criteria right there. So,
yeah, he believe it or not, it wasn't Randy Arozarena. A miracle, but it's my other favorite player at Springfield. My trip down to Springfield is going to be a total mess. Somebody should video blog it, because it's going to be like one of those super sweet 16 birthdays. I'm almost 100% sure of that.
That should be incredible to watch. to go back, though, because I hadn't thought of it, and you talked about it a minute ago. Let's do a little bit of looking at what the Cardinals might bring up. You know, the Cardinals have never been a club that brings up, you know, 15 men. They don't stack the clubhouse. They might bring up 4, 5, 6 probably at the most. It feels like, you know, Magnera, Sierra, and Harrison Bader are pretty obvious ones once their seasons conclude. But is there anybody that you think might be a surprise, might get a promotion that we wouldn't expect?
So the couple guys that I've been banging back and forth in my head, I would really like to see Ryan Sheriff, and I've spent a lot of time criticizing the Major League Club for having so many lefties in the bullpen before Kevin Seagrass went down. But Ryan Sheriff is a really interesting left-handed pitcher who pitches really well against righties. He has an unusual delivery. It kind of comes from the same release point as Randy Johnson. He's nothing like Randy Johnson. I'm sorry if there's any illusion there. He's nothing like Randy Johnson, but it kind of comes sidearm. He doesn't extend out all the way, but he is deceptive. Again, he's been great against lefties. He's been really good against righties. He's a left-handed thrower. He's not on the 40-man, and I would definitely like to see him get a shot. And I don't know how realistic it is that he would even get an inning or anything, but other than Patrick Wisdom, he's the only guy who's not on the 40-man that I would like to see get a chance at the major league level. The other name that's kind of interesting, he's just started throwing again in the Gulf Coast League, and he was actually the guy that Mazalak, when we were at Blogger Day at Busch Stadium, he was the guy who Mazalak left the Q&A and then like 3 minutes later signed, was Sean Gilmartin from the New York Mets. He was a waiver claim. He's also a lefty. He's on the 40-man. He's stretching out in the Gulf Coast League. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's an addition once the clubs expand. He might not ever pitch, but I wouldn't be surprised if somehow Sean Gilmartin makes his way onto the Major League roster. And then like the other name that I mentioned who isn't on the 40-man is Patrick Wisdom. Again, Daniel, from a conversation that you and I had earlier, Wisdom's interesting to me because realistically, he's better suited for the role that Luke Voit is currently filling on the Major League roster. I would, you know, the last month or so where Voit hasn't gotten a lot of at-bats, and, like, I think that's better for Wisdom. And also, Wisdom's a really good third baseman, and I think it would have benefited, you know, Jed Jerko when he was going through some of those hard times to have had Wisdom there to relieve him, and instead of, you know, the Voit-Carpenter, where Carpenter was never going to play third base. So I would definitely like to see either Sheriff or Wisdom added. And, I think about Wisdom and I think that power off the bench is real. And he's not going to get, like, if you were to bring him up to the major league level, you wouldn't stunt his development at all. He's fully developed. He's as developed as he'll ever be. And, I think that those are the two guys who aren't on the 40-man, who haven't been to the majors yet, that I think could possibly find their way come September.
Yeah, it's interesting. I looked up Luke Voit as you're talking. He started last night as, of course, as the DH. That was the first time he started in since August 2nd. So, and, you know, when he starts, he seems to hit, but he didn't get a chance to. So you're right. That would have been interesting to see. Sheriff seems to have had a pretty good year all year long. And there's been a couple of times this year that I kind of thought they would add him, especially when they had a 40-man spot and bring him up. Is there anything that you can see that has the organization hesitant to promote him?
No, other than the fact that there are 100 other left-handed pitchers in the bullpen, no, I can't think of anything. He was pretty decent in the Arizona Fall League, too. There were some rave reviews coming out of the Arizona Fall League this offseason. I really don't. I just think that there are too many lefties in front of him.
Maybe so. Speaking of Arizona Fall League, when do they announce those? Is that end of August or is that beginning of September when they announce those?
You know, it's right about that same time. It differs every year. You can bet that. But you know what? Now that I think about it, I think it's right after Labor Day.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's seasons of started to wrap up down there in the minors. That makes sense. I couldn't quite. I just remember them. Always seems like all of a sudden there they are, and like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. So
yeah, that's going to be another interesting thing, because the Cardinals have had some guys spend the entire season on the DL, and I would bet that, you know, we'll maybe save this for a different day, but I would bet that Eli Alvarez and Edmundo Sosa are two names that are announced to be on the Arizona Fall League roster.
Yeah, I would definitely like to expand on that next time around, talk about who might go out there and what the Arizona Fall League is all about. You know, some of us hear about it, we kind of have an idea, but it's also something that just gets kind of tossed around, and sometimes it gets overshadowed because it's playing at the same time the playoffs are, and so people aren't necessarily watching that. So let's put a pin on that one, and we'll talk about that next time around. But to wrap it up for tonight, is there anything this week that, besides your trip to Springfield, that you're looking forward to or are expecting to kind of keep an eye on?
Yeah, Austin Gomber, who I'll get to see this weekend, has been really good lately. And I'm anxious to see him. A couple prospects have kind of jumped over him. And there's been some talk about maybe some friction between him and the organization about some of the things that he's wanted to continue to do that maybe the organization didn't want him to do. And when I say friction, you know, I don't want that to sound like there's some type of there isn't any like problems there, but Gomber was comfortable throwing a certain way with doing certain things, and the organization wanted him to smooth some things out, and maybe it kind of hit a stalemate. But I'm anxious to see how Gomber pitches. I'm anxious to see if Peoria can start stringing some wins together. They've got a guy down there named Stefan Trosclair, who's a first baseman who has like a .449 on base percentage since the beginning of July. He's starting to hit for power. He's interesting. Dylan Carlson has hit above .300 for his last week. He's hit .890 in OPS over the last week. I say it now, but what's going on in Peoria is really interesting to me, because Nick Plummer, who was doing really well and then fell off, Dylan Carlson starting to hit well. Juan Yepes, who is the prospect that the Cardinals got from Matt Adams, he's starting to hit well. He's 19 at a full season level. Dylan Carlson's 18 at a full season level. There's a lot of growth happening at Peoria right now, and I'm anxious to see how that progresses, not only over the last week, but as Peoria makes a second half playoff push.
Good stuff, as always, from Mr. Kyle, and I look forward to talking to you next week.
Hey, Daniel, thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
Suter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!